This podcast is proudly brought to you by Octane Coffee Company, with locations in Grant Park, the West Side, the Pocket Bar at the Bank of America Plaza, and the newest Birmingham outpost in Homewood, Alabama. For more information, visit octanecoffee.com.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Chris Appleton. I'm executive director here at Wonderroot, and today we're going to be talking about university art programs in Atlanta and the relationship that they have to their local art community. And we're here with Henry Detweiler and Justin Rabideau and Floyd Hall. And I'll let the three of you introduce yourselves.
All right. I'm Henry Detweiler. I am an artist and recent BFA graduate from Georgia State University.
And I'm Justin Rabideau. I'm the interim director at the Zuckerman Museum of Art at Kennesaw University.
And I'm Floyd Hall. I am here on the staff at Wonderroot, and I am a media professional, if you will, and I have a vested interest in the arts scene in Atlanta, especially at the university level. So glad to be here. I'd like to ask the question, Chris, when you talked about the relationship between the arts at the university level with their local area, what do you define by local?
Great question. I don't think I've figured that out myself yet. I think I mean the greater Atlanta area. I mean, when I'm thinking about Georgia State's program, I'm thinking about, you know, Metro Atlanta. When I'm thinking about Emory, I'm also thinking about Metro Atlanta. But perhaps when I'm thinking about Kennesaw, that Kennesaw State, that introduces kind of a new region. While Kennesaw is in the Metro Atlanta area for sure, perhaps Kennesaw as its own city is having a different relationship to the university than, say, Georgia State would, or Emory or Spelman, whatever it may be.
I think that that's an interesting point, and also in the sense that local takes on a really different term. It's kind of a state of mind in Atlanta, because Atlanta is so sprawling and spread out. You know, that places like Kennesaw are technically still within the city of Atlanta or the metro Atlanta area. So they can be local in one way and can be a whole other entity in another, which is kind of an interesting way of thinking.
But Justin, do you, seeing as how you're focused in the Kennesaw area,
sure,
do you think that there's a different perspective there when you consider the art scene and what local means there? Do you think it's different, or do we just want it to be different because it's Kennesaw versus Atlanta?
I hope it's not versus, but yeah, I think definitely there is a different perspective, without a doubt. I think that's all of kind of the outlying communities just outside of the perimeter have their own identity and are very proud of that identity, but then also are very happy to be a part of kind of the community that is the Metro Atlanta area. So I think, you know, it's all intertwined, but there is certainly a specific identity associated with Kennesaw.
Henry, I would like to get your perspective on your place right now, coming from BFA, applying to your next level of education in the arts. What's changed for you as an artist as you are about to take this next step?
Not a whole lot has changed, I guess. My BFA education is sort of just geared me up and made me feel ready to move on to the next level of education. So I feel compelled in that way to move forward. Right now I'm just working, trying to keep moving on things that are happening in Atlanta, which, kind of looking for BFA programs outside of the city, which is what I'm doing. You know, it's going to be interesting step to sort of leave this local community that I've been participating in for the past 5 years.
So when you say you're looking for MFA programs outside of the city, you mean outside of the Atlanta, like out of the state?
Out of state, yeah. And that's more out of necessity. Just because I graduated from Georgia State, they don't readmit you know, people that have graduated from undergrad to their master's program, which I think is smart, you know, so get more perspectives from people, you know, not just continuing their education. And also that's really, like, within the city of Atlanta, that would be the only master's program that I would be interested in going to. It's the one I can't go to, so. And I think it's valuable, you know, as a young artist, you know, growing, like, sort of, growing my experiences beyond the city of Atlanta, even though the city of Atlanta has so much nurtured me at, like, I guess my beginning stages. But I wouldn't be abandoning Atlanta either. So,
Chris, we had a very intriguing conversation earlier this week with a Spelman student, a Spelman graduate, actually. And it seemed like in that conversation, there was a perceived disconnect between a lot of the arts programs and even the gallery spaces that the universities have here in Atlanta with the larger public. What's the reason for that disconnect, you think?
I think that universities, especially university art programs, like other art organizations and art institutions in Atlanta, are very mission-focused, and I think they are under-resourced. And so I think outside of the conversation about universities being ivory towers and being disconnected and so on and so forth, I think that art programs in particular, are set up not to have an easy relationship to their local art communities. That said, Wonderroot has managed to develop a very strong relationship with Emory University, not through their visual art department, but through the Emory Center for Ethics. Some folks over there, Carlton Mackey and Paul Wolpe, have developed an initiative called the Ethics and Arts Initiative. And while it has multi-purposes, one of their primary purposes is to use the arts as a tool for universities to engage with community, not just art community, but with community at large. And so they have artists from outside of the community coming in and talking to students about the ethical considerations that the arts can often highlight. Wonderroot has also developed, while we haven't done a lot of projects together, a strong partnership with Spelman Museum of Fine Art, again, not the art program there. We've got a couple of projects in the works with them. But interestingly enough, haven't formed those kind of relationships with our state universities here. And so it's been, and I'm kind of self-discovering this as I'm saying it aloud, is that we've been pretty successful in forming relationships with the private universities in town, but not necessarily the public universities. And I don't know why.
Well, you know, I think I'd like to speak to that in some ways that, well, one, the Zuckerman has kind of started reaching out to the community, both locally for the Zuckerman in Kennesaw, but then also in Atlanta with Wonderroot and some of the other organizations in the area. But I think, the issue of university galleries and art programs seeming somewhat insular, I think, has a lot to do with this notion of what is local again, and how that is a state of mind. And I think a lot to what you said, Chris, was that these programs are so geared and so focused internally that the university itself becomes its own community. That at times, I think a lot of the programming is geared so specifically to that community in specific, that becomes their sense, their idea of what is local, the supporting of their own community, the students that support them.
And probably the larger the institution, the easier that is to happen.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. So, and that may be why you're having although the institutions that you're working with are fairly large, they're private, so they have kind of a different, maybe a different mentality or a different focus that they're working on.
And I would be remiss to not mention Wonderroot's recent collaboration with Kennesaw State with the Imaginary Million.
Sure. But that is one thing, personally for me, coming up through the university system, getting a BFA, MFA, working as a teacher and also in the gallery systems at universities, I've seen that along the way. And that's one thing that I believe can change. And it's kind of changing the way that we look at collaborations and interactions, turning ourselves outward a little bit more and kind of really focusing on that. Because it can be very easy to focus on the internal community of a university instead of thinking about the broader topic.
And I can sort of, I've recognized that for sure among the student body of my peers at Georgia State University. There's, people can be extraordinarily active, like within the community, there's tons of, drawing clubs and sort of like extracurricular activities within the university itself. But then, I'm talking casually about Wonderroot and people are like, what's Wonderroot? I've never heard of this before. And they've been in Atlanta just as long as I have. Sort of surprised about all these like things that are happening within the broader scope of the Atlanta art community. I think it's very, it can be like a very comfortable place to be sort of like non-threatening, not out in the, the broader scope of things. But that's definitely true. Sort of self-nurturing self thing.
Justin, I wanted to follow up with what you were talking about earlier. When it comes to support, I'm going to ask a really dumb question, but when you talk about support and supporting your student body there at Kennesaw State or even beyond, what does support look like? What is support when you're talking about an artist or the artist community there? What does that look like?
Sure. Well, I mean, I can kind of speak on a few different levels. I think as an art student, students are really looking for support from their faculty and the university at large to help them fulfill, their programming. So, it's very much geared towards scholarly research and studio support, learning techniques and crafts and the skills needed to get through the programs. So I think, there's a very heavy focus on that within the university system that's seen as support. I think within the gallery side of things, there are kind of two approaches. One, a support that helps develop the students' experience with galleries and developing their professionalism within their field of study. So showing them and helping them along the way, showing them how to work within an exhibition, how to prepare themselves professionally to go out into the world and actually submit their artwork as a practicing artist. And giving them kind of the baseline for what it is to be an artist exhibiting in the world, and that we do that through our programming and our galleries. So we have a lot of student shows and juried exhibits that help support that process, that development of professionalism for that working artist, or hopefully will be a working artist.
Can we talk about Emory at this point? I think one of the things that may have started this earlier conversation informally was the decision that Emory University made to cut their arts curriculum. Mm-hmm. So from the student perspective, Henry, I would like to get your input on how that made you feel. What was your initial reaction? Not to speak for anyone on Emory's campus per se, but from a student perspective, what did that mean to you? And then I guess maybe Justin or even Chris, speak to what you thought that signaled from a large perspective, industry, Atlanta, and beyond.
Well, since Emory's a private institution, I understand it from like the mindset of sort of being more geared towards sciences and things. But, you know, I have lots of friends that were in the visual arts department or recent graduates from the visual arts department at Emory. And, you know, now they have like a degree that sort of has a university that no longer, you know, supports, you know, their, like what they just went through. And, I guess it's disappointing, you know, that it's such a large institution that, you know, has such a strong reputation, no longer wants to support this, thing that they've been working on, to build. But I guess I'm happy I wasn't attending Emory when that happened. So, yeah.
I mean, I think that certainly, Henry, to your point, it's a private institution, and it makes sense to a degree, but I think it's evidence of an increased tendency to support those things which are more easily evaluated and measured. Institutions increasingly are calling for quantitative evaluation versus qualitative evaluation. That's something that I face in my job, you know, whether it's grant writing or going out there and trying to drum up support from sponsors and funders. They want to know, well, how are you measuring your success? And you know, we can't measure success the same way that, let's say, a healthcare-related initiative can measure health rates and all that's connected to that. So I think it's just further evidence of a trend that isn't unique to the arts. But to me, the most important thing that Henry said, while Georgia State and Kennesaw, I think, are producing outstanding students graduating, I've said for a long time now that it's the students at Georgia State and at Kennesaw that I see most prepared to come into the arts community and to try to move into that transition, that role of a working artist. That said, Emory is the university in Atlanta. It is the academic institution in Atlanta that has the most national and international reputation as being this stellar university. It is not to say anything about anything negative about anything else, but I think that there's something to be said for the kind of university on the hill, if you will, and it quite literally is in Atlanta. Not supporting the arts in the way that they have in the recent past.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's going to be a hurdle in some way for Atlanta to overcome because it is such a recognizable university, and it did make national news, you know, with them losing this program, that it although I don't feel that it actually speaks for what's happening in Atlanta, I think if you are outside looking in, it says volumes, unfortunately. So I think, you know, one thing that the other universities within the Atlanta area, I think, should take from that is that I would hope that they would have a strong desire to kind of pick up that void that Emory may leave and kind of fill that in with programming and, you know, the work that they do with the students that come to those specific universities.
Justin, are you aware of any conversations to that point of, you know, the other schools that are in Atlanta or the people who are in charge of mm-hmm. the departments at those respective schools? Are you aware of any conversations, even informally, that have spoken to perhaps picking up the proverbial slack, if you will?
Sure. Well, I mean, I can only speak for Kennesaw.
Okay.
And I can tell you at the university within the not only the art department but also the museum and the Museums of Archives and Rare Books, which is what the Zuckerman's attached to. Both of those groups of people have spoken about that and have felt that you know, it's very sad that Emery decided to make that move. It's also very encouraging for Kennesaw State University because we are a growing university right now. You know, we're building a brand new museum. There's plans in the works for expansion of the arts program. We have an arts district on campus, including music, dance, theater, and the visual arts. And all across the board at Kennesaw State, there is a really strong desire for growth and for development, not only in the arts, but in other fields. And so I think that where Emory felt that it was prudent for them to close this one portion of their programming down, I definitely feel that there's a drive at Kennesaw right now for growth and development. So, you know, that part is kind of like the nice part of the story in my mind.
Well, Chris, from the perspective of the arts community, if you will, when Emory makes that decision, in some way, are they devaluing the arts from a perception standpoint in terms of what the public's response might be? If someone reads an article that says Emory makes this decision, it could be interpreted as them saying the arts are not as important right now. Did that have a ripple effect in terms of the larger artist or arts community in terms of conversations that you may have been a part of? What was your response to that? Or I guess, what did you hear, if anything, as related to that?
So that, I mean, that's a dangerous question to answer and to ask, right?
I'm sorry.
And you know, I mean, I think one important thing to note, and I'll answer your question in a moment, but one important thing to note is that no decision was made by one person, right? And so this is in no way about what my response is about an individual. I think oftentimes when, you know, rather tragic things like the situation at Emory happen, I think in the short term it can galvanize a community. I mean, I think that what you saw happen is thousands of people signed a petition saying, you know, keep the art department at Emory, and students did a sit-in or a lock-in, and perhaps, although not exclusively, perhaps Emory's closing of the art program has led us to have this what is hopefully productive and insightful conversation today. And so I think in a reactionary way, short term, maybe there's good stuff that's happening. I don't mean to dismiss all the bad stuff that's happening in the short term and how it's immediately affecting the students that are a part of the program and have graduated from the program, as Henry was saying. That said, I think longer term, I mean, I think the effects are much more devastating, and it's, but to Justin's point, it's an opportunity for others to step in and fill the void. Programs that are looking for growth opportunities and have the resources to do so. For me, not to transition too far off course, but, when I kind of started thinking about this topic, I was reflecting back on a Creative Time report that was done, I think, in 2010 about the city of Dallas. And there were 11 or 12 different vibrancy indicators that Creative Time came out and said, you know, these are the 12 things that are necessary for, you know, for Dallas to have a vibrant art community. I think it's that report is very applicable to Atlanta. And these indicators range from, you know, nationally recognized and internationally recognized museums and exhibitions to a strong collector base, to strong grassroots art programs and public funding and private funding and whatever these different things are. One of the things that really stood out to me was strong MFA programs. That great art cities have great MFA programs. And so this comment is not necessarily about Emory, right? But I think our universities need to be thinking about that and how their MFA programs are contributing to the larger you know, healthy or not so healthy art ecology in the Atlanta region.
Here you go.
Well, yeah, I for sure. I think as Justin was saying, like, there's, now that Emory has sort of stepped out of the picture, there's a void that can be filled. And just to sort of speak to my student perspective, like, from the, like, the conversations I've had with professors, you know, there is definitely a desire for Georgia State to not necessarily fill the void that Emory left, but expand for its own sake. And I think, you know, improve in general, and, you know, and definitely I think improvements can and will be made to the undergraduate and graduate programs over there. So hopefully, you know, that will happen, fill that void.
Chris, you may be best apt to answer this question. What can we do better to support the students at these institutions in the arts departments when it comes to the early stages of their careers in terms of shows or funding or exposure? What could or should we be doing to support these students at the university level? Those of us who are in the public, those of us who are in these communities that are around these schools.
So I think Henry is definitely the most equipped to answer that question. Just, and I'll answer it, but just as he, Henry, you just got out of the program. I mean, I would assume that you could speak best to what your needs are, what were your needs while you were in the program, and what they are now, what, 6 or 8 months later, something like that. Or 2 months later.
2 months later.
Goodness gracious.
Less than a month, actually.
I think at Wonderroot, you know, our mission and purpose is largely connected to helping artists, while not exclusively, at stages in their careers that a student or recent graduate may be. Early stages, emerging, trying to figure out how to make that transition from, you know, what I'm recently calling coffee shop artist into, you know, full-time working artist. I think a lot of that has to do with professional development. I think a lot of that has to do with relationship building and giving opportunities. So we, in response to that need, that regularly artists and students like Henry were sharing with us over a couple of years, in response to that need, we created the Walthall Artist Fellowship, which, you know, is this year-long program where we have 12 artists that are what we've, you know, they have both self-identified and we feel like are at pivotal stages in their careers as they're seeking to make that transition. And we're teaching them about, you know, intellectual property law and business planning and proposal writing and how to approach a gallery and even things like affordable studio and housing. Affordable studio space and housing, all things that you don't get taught in school. excuse me. And that's, you know, a void that we're trying to fill. We can be less helpful. I think the art community at large can be less helpful in some of the studio art practice, studio training. I don't want to say that as a blanket statement, but I don't think that that's the role that arts organizations and art service organizations are supposed to play. I think that's the role that the university plays. And that's why you get a BFA, or that's why you go back to school and get an MFA if you're trying to hone your practice more and need instruction to do so. So I think that it's our role to, you know, create exhibition opportunities to provide education largely around professional and career development, and to give young artists a leg up with the things that are really difficult, which are housing. There's you know, the Creatives Project, as far as I know, is the only arts organization in the metro area that's doing any sort of affordable artist housing programs, which is a huge lack. And then studio space and affordable studio space, and, you know, there's some great programs going on around that, but certainly not enough. I mean, I live with I live with a 31-year-old artist that is essentially painting out of his bedroom. And, you know, how the hell do you how do you make the leap, you know, painting out of your bedroom? So.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Sort of the role that Wonderroot has filled, like, most recently, like, providing opportunity for the Imaginary Million, which was, you know, a great exposure opportunity for emerging and sort of older, more established artists. And, yeah, so more of that. I'm sorry, I'm getting off track from your original question, but definitely that's a, yeah, that's a role that, like, Wonderroot has been filling more recently, like, sort of been very good, you know, to me personally. But I think a lot of that responsibility of sort of, like, becoming involved in these sorts of programs, like the Creatives Project and all that stuff, like, there's a responsibility for the artists to make themselves known to those people that are providing these opportunities, and it's not, you know, it's not solely on the, you know, on the organizations themselves. That, I think that's getting back more to the original question. But, yeah.
What do you feel like, you as a, either as a senior in school or now just out of school, what do you want from your local art community, and certainly not just Wonderroot, but from the local community, organizations? How can they be supportive?
Well, I guess most recently I've been sort of scrambling to find a studio space. So yeah, that's been difficult. I finally locked one down, but, you know, sort of, yeah, finding a place that's affordable to work, especially, you know, at this stage where I'm not making a living off my artwork, I'm, you know, and, you know, just coming out of the program, I'm, you know, barely making a living at all. So it's like trying to make all these things work in conjunction. So yeah, more opportunities for affordable housing, affordable studio space, sort of, yeah. And, you know, I guess sort of developing a collector-based, sort of visual education for, or like encouraging visual literacy or something like that, like among the broader, not just within the arts community, but within the broader Atlanta community. Those are the sort of things that I know are happening, but I would like to see more happening. Yeah.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by Octane Coffee Company. For more information, visit octanecoffee.com.
Justin, I wanted to ask you about the phrase working artist. From the university level, when you're mentoring students or giving them guidance on the careers, what's the picture that you paint when it comes to what the reality is of being a working artist? Because I think that sometimes, well, in life, in many programs of discipline, the school version is different than the real life version. So what's your perspective in terms of giving them that guidance or painting that picture of what a working artist looks like?
Sure. That's a great question. I think the key to telling or to showing a student what they can do as a working artist is kind of showing a painting with a really broad brush and really letting them realize that there's so many different ways that they as students and people that are creative can go out from kind of the umbrella of the university, which, you know, oftentimes I'm speaking from experience, as a student, art student working within a university setting, you know, going to school and learning your trade, you know, the university is very, very comforting. It bolsters you up. It kind of like you have this community built in that helps you out along the way. So I think the key to working with the students to realize what a working artist is once they leave that program, once they leave the umbrella of the program, is letting them kind of see the diversity of the art world. So letting them get an idea of working for galleries and for museums, but also maintaining a studio practice. Teaching is obviously a big influence for and a big draw for working artists to help maintain like a livelihood. But also talking about what it is to be somebody who works in their studio and treats that strictly as a job. And that's, you know, their studio practice is their job. And professionalizing what they do creatively as an artist into something that can be utilized to make a living. So I think, you know, really, I don't think there's one kind of type of working artist that we focus on within the university setting. And I know, you know, for the museum, we work with a lot of students on internship basis and student workers. And what we do with them is we really try to show them what it is like to work as a professional within a museum or a gallery setting. But then also all these students are, you know, maintaining a studio practice as students. So letting them realize that they can have their foot in both worlds. And maybe one will be more profitable or one will be able to help keep a food on the table while the other one may be something that they do creatively or that they do to, you know, balance out their day-to-day life with another one. So it's kind of like it's a focus on balance, really, and learning how to become a professional with whatever direction you choose.
Well, let's stay right there and talk about the Zuckerman Museum.
Sure.
Can you talk more about what you all are about, what you all do, just for our listeners who may not be as familiar?
Sure. So the Zuckerman Museum of Art has been operating for about 40 years at Kennesaw State University. It has just recently changed its name to the Zuckerman Museum of Art with the new construction of our building. Before that, it was just the Museums and Galleries of Kennesaw State University. So that's maybe where the name hasn't quite, you know, been out there in the public yet. But the actual museum has been around on campus. And our collection focuses primarily on early American paintings. But we do have a broad scope of works in our collection. And our primary goal is to interpret our collection, to expand our exhibits to a national level, exhibiting a broad range of works from contemporary works to local Georgia artists to historical works of art, and interpreting that for the student populace and the community at large. So really we see ourselves as a bridge between the university itself and the community, which includes the Metro Atlanta area. So we really want to open the doors of Kennesaw State University and bring the community in to see what we do program-wise, what the students do, what the faculty do, and really kind of open a dialogue about art making and art practices. So that's really our focus.
How close of a relationship is there between the art department at Kennesaw State
Sure.
and the Zuckerman Museum?
We work very closely with one another for many years. So for most of the life of the museum and galleries, it functioned within the College of the Arts, which is part of the art department. So for many years, that there was a marriage between those two organizations. Recently, with the new museum coming into fruition, we've developed our own department within Kennesaw State University, but we still maintain a working relationship. One of our staff members is a full-time faculty member with the art department, and you know we work with all of the staff, faculty, and staff in the art department. Very closely on programming, student shows, and faculty exhibits.
Are there model universities, you know, let's say outside of the state that has, y'all are, you know, redefining the Zuckerman Museum's mission and its identity, and in growth mode, you know, looking to the future. Are there models in other states at universities that you have looked to and said we'd love to be more like them?
You know, I think that there's lots of universities that, you know, are doing some really wonderful work. Recently, we visited Chicago, and you know, the University of Illinois has a really wonderful program and a really wonderful interaction between the museum and the faculty that work within the art department. And they're doing some really fantastic programming that's really community-based. It's really bringing in the regional artists of the community and tying them in with the faculty, and then also with originally curated exhibits on a national level. And I think there are programs like that all across the board that that we've been looking at to kind of develop that model. But in the same breath, you know, I think we all realize that because of budgetary constraints, because of kind of the community that we exist within, all of those things, we really have to kind of cater what we do to the area and to the university. So it's kind of, you know, finding inspiration wherever we can, but also really developing a very specific package of what we know we can deliver for the community and for the university.
Can we talk about the Imaginary Million? Because I think that was a great example of the community coming together, the Zuckerman Museum being a part of that, and having this experience that really fulfilled what I would consider several different objectives and touch points within the arts community in Atlanta. So, Chris, could you speak on that? I mean, Justin, we've been talking for a while, so. but I really wanted to get both of y'all's perspective on the Imaginary Million. What was that thought process like when you were conceiving that idea, and how you would like to see that grow in the future?
So, yeah, and I think that this is a moment to say that all three of us, myself and Henry and Justin, were people that participated in some way in the Imaginary Million, in that project. You know, myself at Wonderroot as one of the co-organizers with Justin and his team at the Zuckerman Museum, but then Henry is an artist. So, and I'm going to say a little bit about why the three of us are really in the room later. So the Imaginary Million is a project that sort of drew its inspiration from a place of seeking to empower artists as a different kind of stakeholder in the Atlanta arts ecology than they typically are, and that is as collectors, right? So artists most frequently are the producers of things, and then you have the consumers, and certainly many times people are both, but it's most frequent that artists, working artists, as they have their coffee shop jobs or their teaching jobs or whatever it may be, don't have the means to purchase and collect the work of their peers. So we see oftentimes artists trading with one another, but they're most frequently trading with the people that are in their immediate peer group, that are their friends. And sometimes that can get messy. I learned that's actually one of the participating artists said, this is really nice because there's 100 people in the room and it doesn't have to be a one-to-one trade. If someone likes my work, they can have it, but I don't have to like their work in order for me to give mine away or trade mine away. So the way that the project worked is it was a partnership between Wonderroot, Mocha GA, and the Zuckerman Museum. As a part of Elevate, sponsored by the Atlanta Office of Cultural Affairs. We took submissions. There were 300-some images, works of art that were submitted. And we had a jury that selected a single work from 100 artists that were then auctioned off at a live and silent auction, kind of gala-style event. the catch was that only the 100 participating artists could purchase the work that was in the show, that was in the auction, and they were making that purchase with the $10,000 in imaginary currency that we gave them in exchange for their donating the artwork to the auction. So, you know, at the end of the night, you had probably like 97 happy artists that went home with artwork. Technically, if every artist really wanted to go home with something, they could. But there were a handful that risked not going home with something, and they didn't. But for the most part, you know, so all 100 artists gave a piece of art, and all 100 artists, or 97 of them, whatever it was, went home with a piece of art, and it was pretty magical. Speaking kind of to the conversation that we're having today about universities and their local art communities, I mean, I can say of a handful of different partners and potential partners that we that Wonderroot approached in seeking sort of teammates for this program. And Justin and I were talking about this the other day. I walked into the room at the Zuckerman Museum and sat down with Justin and the other staff there. And I barely even had to get the words out of my mouth before they said yes. And not only did they say, yes, we'll be a part of it, but yes, we'll be a part of it. And here's our graphic designer. Here's an installation team. Here's curatorial support. We'll do all the printing. I mean, it was all this stuff that we were just overwhelmed with gratitude, and no way the project would have been near what it was without the support of Kennesaw State.
And, you know, I think, and thank you for that. And we really appreciated being a part of the Imaginary Million. And I think speaking to the topic today, it's really somewhere that I think is a really wonderful fit for an interaction between a university and the community to create something that really becomes something that creates a better and more active arts community and kind of arts loving society within a community. And that's where, you know, I hope that we see more of that kind of interaction, more of that collaboration between all of the universities within the Atlanta area. Because, it's programming like Imaginary Million and the things that Wonderroot does that really make it accessible for the artists and for the community at large to kind of feel like they can enter into this and feel that they are a part of it and feel very proud to be a part of it. And I think that's kind of a nice marriage between arts organizations, artists, community, and universities. That's a nice model for us to think about.
It's taken some time, and I'll shut up in a second, Henry. It's taken some time for me to learn the kinds of flexibility and malleability or lack thereof that larger institutions, whether they're universities, university museums, or not, that they have. So I am learning the kinds of things that, let's say, a Zuckerman Museum and a Kennesaw State University can contribute to Wonderroot. I realize, and I don't want to make any blanket statements talk a Wonderroot artist out of a show at the Zuckerman Museum, but I realize that that's not necessarily the function that Zuckerman Museum plays, or let's say the High Museum of Art plays, right? Like, the High Museum of Art, Zuckerman Museum don't necessarily exist to do shows of emerging artists. But instead, if the Zuckerman Museum is bringing a nationally recognized artist to town from Madison, Wisconsin, and that artist could contribute some value to Wonderroot's mission, to the community that Wonderroot is directly serving, that's where I want to have the relationship between Wonderroot and the university, because the university has resources and relationships that smaller arts organizations, these community-based organizations, don't have. And rarely are going to have. And so that's a place that, for me, I think we have some potential learning to do, but there's a lot of potential in in partnership and collaboration, because we then aren't competing, right? It's complementary how our missions and functions within the larger art community work together.
That's actually an interesting point in the the sense of competition that universities and arts communities, in a kind of a broad way of looking at it, there is really no competition. You know, you're not competing for audience, or you're not competing for donorship in the same way that two arts organizations may be having some sort of conflict internally on a very fundamental kind of business side of things. You may have that happening, but between the university and an arts organization within a community, you have less of that occurring. I'm just generalizing that may allow for a better alignment for certain programs and partnerships because of that. So I think that's an interesting point. But also to the point that the Zuckerman does.
As I was saying, I was like, I'm going to be proven wrong, of course.
But the Zuckerman actually is very interested in promoting local artists. That's part of our mission for the galleries, is to tap into the local resources and local art communities, and really contextualize those artists within a broader scope. So really pulling in maybe an artist from the Atlanta area that is developing and putting them in a show that has some national artists, maybe some historic art, and really contextualizing what people in Atlanta are doing in a broader kind of scope. So,
which is what Stephanie Dowda and Jill Frank have recently done with their photography-based show at Georgia State University.
Right.
That is a Cynthia at Georgia State is the Center for Collaborative and International Art, and that show is putting Atlanta artists alongside not just national but international artists, artists from Mexico. Artists from Lebanon, and I think more of that in the universe. I just feel like the university, more so than any other art institution in Atlanta, really in any city, is equipped to do that.
Absolutely, that's I think one of the biggest strengths of a university, museum, or gallery is that we can take chances and risks in our programming that standalone organizations just cannot do. There's a certain expectation for a delivery of an exhibit, maybe say for an organization like the High Museum of Art that has a very specific gear and caliber of artists that they need to show and should be showing. Because of the caliber of museum that they are, where a university gallery or museum can kind of take a little bit more risk and a little bit more more of a chance on the programming that we do, because we exist in a different way. We exist within a university setting. We have the support of a university, and we are there kind of on an experimental scholarly basis, so we can kind of take these interesting chances that maybe a larger institution might not be able to do. So,
and you're also not taking the, like, it's not about commodity in that situation either, which I think is another distinction between like a just a normal gallery versus a university gallery, which I think that's important to note.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Yeah, that say like a commercial gallery is, definitely has to think about the business side of things mm-hmm. when they take on an artist or an exhibit. So that's another benefit.
So as the director of the Zuckerman Museum of Art, you don't have to think about the business side.
I wish it were that easy. I definitely do, but we can take a little bit more of a chance than, say, a commercial gallery could.
So a couple of things that I'm drawing out that are, maybe in a succinct way, but not comprehensive way, is that the role a university might play in their local art community is experimentation and scholarship. And, I mean, that's definitely something for me. I've never heard it in the way, Justin, that you just said it. So that's definitely something I'm going to take away from this conversation as I seek to forge, as a community-based arts organization, seek to forge relationships with universities, and not just Kennesaw State, but others.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of research being done on that happening, and people kind of focusing on this notion of research and experimentation within the arts at universities. And Crest Foundation just sponsored a really big study that has just been published on that very topic, and talking about where kind of the universities can, university museums and galleries and art departments and art programming kind of can exist in this interesting space between, say, the commercial gallery and then the standalone arts organization, and what benefits, and obviously there are probably some detriments in there as well, and how that can kind of be capitalized for those organizations.
Well, final thoughts as we wrap up, whether on that last point or any of the other points that we've hit, we can start with you, Henry. Just go around the room and give some perspective.
Well, I think we've sort of, we're talking about the role that university, our program, has in the local community. And I think what we sort of talked about, which I think has been true of my experience with Georgia State at least, is it's sort of the purpose it serves is sort of nurture your studio practice and sort of nurture you within that community, like provide you the support you need as a developing artist. But I think there's a responsibility that each individual has to go beyond that, to sort of, which is what my experience has been, to sort of get out into the broader scope of the community, because it can't, that the university can only give you so much. So, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. And, I think, speaking about all of these interesting topics today and really focusing on what that relationship is between the community and the universities, I think that, there are two takeaways for me. Is that one, I think universities really fulfill a really special need within a local community. They bring in interesting, talented people from all over the country, which is one thing that I guess we didn't really talk about. Was something that, just thinking about what kind of talent comes in from a university, but also how the university can kind of develop relationships with art communities and other organizations, and lend their vast resources to help develop and bolster up that arts community. And something that I think within Atlanta specifically, there's work to be done. I think there's a lot more that we could be doing in some respects, and developing more collaborations and more opportunities for artists to kind of really grow and develop their craft. So it's something that I think is really encouraging for me in the position that we are at the Zuckerman, is that, I see this really wonderful place that we can exist within the community, and then also realize that there's more that we could be doing. And hopefully through collaborations with Wonderoot and other organizations, will continue to do that.
I think that the stronger community-based organizations have with universities, the stronger the relationship between community-based organizations and the universities in the area, the more likely it is that the students that are in the universities, when they graduate, are going to connect to the resources that those community-based organizations provide. So it makes sense not just for the universities, but it also makes sense for the community organizations that there is a strong relationship and constant communication and frequent collaborations for the benefit of, I'm going to say, you know, Wonderroot is an organization for the benefit of the university, but perhaps most importantly for the benefit of the student and student artist and hopefully eventually working artist, because the reality is that's why we all exist at the end. The university art program exists to be of service to the students. The community-based arts organization exists to be of service to the artists and the arts interested public at large. And so I think the more that we can do there, the better. The last thing I'll say is Floyd, you and I have talked as we're having these sort of community broad conversations here at Wonderroot through the podcast, that it's a great opportunity for us to forge some new relationships with people, and perhaps new projects will emerge. And obviously the three of us sitting here, you know, myself and Henry and Justin, we all know each other and have collaborated before, but maybe not exactly in this way. So maybe, you know, maybe not the three of us. So maybe coming out of this, there can be a project the three of us can imagine together.
Absolutely.
Sounds fantastic to me.
Great place to leave. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was a lot of fun.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by Octane Coffee Company, with locations in Grant Park, the West Side, the Pocket Bar at the Bank of America Plaza, and the newest Birmingham outpost in Homewood, Alabama. For more information, visit octanecoffee.com.